dreamers out there, I'm with you.
Don't look at me. You are listening to Right Back At Ya, the 2000s pop music podcast where we have fun taking pop music seriously. Hosted by Mummy Used to Warn You to Beware Those Limmy Lovers, the infatuation hun, David Lim, and me. Ooh, I'm overdue, is what I'd say when I had a book from the Romford Library for too long, Joel Babington. It is about time for our arrival. Hello, David. How are you doing?
Doing good, Jolie B. Good to be back doing this. It has been a hot minute.
We have had, you know, life is busy, stuff's going on, and there has been an unexpected pause on the pod, but I am thrilled to be back here with you. Today you are going to have something a bit unexpected, raw and real. Ha ha.
JB, what a summer it has been so far. By the time this episode comes out, Christina Aguilera would have, of course, played Brighton Pride. But we've had so many fun music experiences this summer separately, although we should probably sync up for some of them. I went to Mighty Hoopla when the JB was in New York and got to see the Sugar Babes live at last, which was a big, big bucket list moment for me because I've never seen the Sugar Babes in any incarnation live ever.
I mean, I am so thrilled for you, David, and we have our tickets booked for the tour later this year.
We get to have our Sugar Babes experience together then, yes.
Which I cannot wait for. Girls, if you need a fourth and fifth member that night, we are available.
You're seeing them at two different dates, aren't you?
I've got to get down to Southend. And then I'll be seeing them at the London date.
By the time I see you in London, you would like know the set list back to front already.
I'll be off book. David, don't go to the toilet here. Do not go to the toilet here.
They're about to do Red Dress.
Do you know what? That they should do that. They should do a one-off every night, like fan request number. You know, like Kelly Clarkson does that a lot. I think the girls should be like, their whole back catalogue is open, fan vote. For each night, one-off request, a song they wouldn't normally do, and Red Dress could be part of that.
Oh my God, imagine me like somewhere, I don't even know what seats we've got, but like I'll be screaming, never gonna dance again. Lucia's like, I don't even know that one. Keisha, was I there for that one?
Who else was your highlights at Mighty Hoopla, Davo?
Oh, Steps were phenomenal. Lots of fun. We do love us a little bit of Steps. And of course, they have a new single out, Hard to Forget. Right back at your listeners, you would know that this is a thing that we might have, you know, possibly conjured, would you say, JB?
Yes. Any perched listeners, any alert listeners would know that there was a right back stepping stone into the making of Steps recording and releasing Hard to Forget You. It was from our mailbag episode. So it was from us putting it out there, helped this happen. But we obviously have to thank our fantastic listener who did send in the suggestion and helped it get to the fascination gods.
You know what? It's just, it feels right. It's a great song choice for the band. They sound great doing it. And we're having a summer of Steps at the moment. So all you Steps fans, better get your life. Also love seeing Anastasia live at Hoopla and Natalie Imbruglia. Brilliant as well. And we're going to see one of our favorite K-pop girls, aren't we?
Yes, Sunmi.
Wonder Girl Sunmi. Yes, we last time she was in London, we saw her together. So it feels good to be going to shows together again.
Absolutely. I am not missing that. And I am so excited. I can't wait just for some good fun nights out with you, David. Singing, dancing, having a great time doing what we absolutely love.
So, JB, we are back celebrating one of our favorite divas of the noughties, one of your Fab Fours, Christina Aguilera.
Wait, what? I thought we were doing 20 years of Willa Ford.
Or like, you know what, 10 years of Hilary Duff's Dignity or something. I don't even know what the anniversary is, but...
Well, it would be a bit more than 10, darling. But don't tease our listeners. They are ready and waiting for the Hilary Duff episode. Get into David's DMs at LovelyMe. He needs telling.
I don't need persuading. I'm happy to do Hilary. It's on the list, as we always say. I tell you what's funny, though. One of our listeners was in my DMs yesterday going, because I just had a haircut and it's like a really short.
Looks gorgeous.
You know, I'm in my butch phase, so... I've got this like really short cut at the moment. And he was like, oh, is this foreshadowing to the next episode? Are you finally doing pink?
Wow. Well, scroll back. We've done pink and vitamin C together. Not continuing the Alicia legacy currently, but who knows?
Who knows what the future holds? Yeah, we'll leave that door open. But yeah, feel free to request away if that's what you want. But I love that, you know, imagine if that was how we tease our episodes in future, just like with our makeovers. So we are celebrating Christina Aguilera's iconic career-defining album, Stripped, which will be 20 years old this year. Can you believe, JB?
I can't believe that.
2 decades of Stripped? Wow.
2 decades of Stripped. I mean, it makes sense. Very, very pivotal. I would have been 10, 11. I was ready for it.
You know what's funny? And I do have a story about my little brother later on in the episode. But like looking back on this time, I'm like, wow, he was literally a child when this album came out. And it's just like, it's staggering to think where the time has gone. But yes, 20 years of Stripped. Here we come. We're putting love and respect on this very, very special album. In case you missed it, we did cover Christina Aguilera's debut reflection right up to Lady Marmalade in part one. You can scroll back and check that out.
With a touch of Just Be Free in there.
Oh, yeah. Come on now. Yeah.
Just be free. Never stop moving that way. And now this is actually featuring Stripped, but a deep dive into the Just Be Free album.
Take two. Oh, we love a deep cut here at Right Back At Ya. So yeah, look, needless to say, if you're listening to this podcast, you love the 2000s like we do. You already know how special this album is. This is like one of the most defining albums to come out of the 2000s. And Kaggy. Christina Aguilera, Kaggy, as we affectionately call her here. She's definitely one of the most influential pop stars of our generation, you know. Not only her distinct vocal style, who has been imitated and has influenced so many singers, but, you know...
Me included.
Yeah, I mean, we've all... You're going to hear a lot of that on this episode. Apologies in advance. But also, especially when you look back on this Stripped era... The way she pushes boundaries with her image and the feminist themes and, I mean, God, the reinventions that she has really given us. She truly is an excellent disciple of Madonna.
Yeah, I would say so.
So, yes, let's put some love on Christina Aguilera, one of the world's best-selling artists with over 90 million records sold. This era, we're going to... See a couple of Grammys, haha, added to the accolades as well. So shall we jump into it, JB?
Look, back to school, September 2002, David Lim. We were all ready to get dirty with 2 R's because it's that dirty. Oh, overdue, give me some room, coming through, paid my dues, in the mood, me and my girls gonna shake the room. Let's get dirty. That's my chance. I need that to get me off. Sweating till my clothes come off. JB,
this bop goes off every single time still. To this very day, whenever I play in the office, the girlies will get into it. Like
David Lim, what a song. Now, although it isn't similar at all, it has a similarity to Genie in a Bottle in terms of that, as you've just said, this is one of those songs that never fails to go off. Hey, you know where your huns and your girlies are because we are ready for it.
The minute here, ladies move, gentlemen move. It's like part the Red Sea, down the dance floor, off you go.
Do you remember your first memories of this song 20 years ago?
I definitely recall first coming into Dirty through the music video. So I remember seeing it on telly first and I was like, oh, okay. Like, this is very sexy.
It was a Romford hit. You know, this one, this sort of thing is the one that goes off. I think Christina Aguilera gives Kent Girl energy, but the meeting of minds, the handshake emoji is, you know, this song of Romford, of Kent. We loved it. Essex did, Kent did. I'm assuming Kent did.
Do you think Jo Amira does this at, like, open mic nights?
She should add it to her Pride set lists.
That would be like, amazing. Really? Yeah.
I'm going to give the guys everything they want. The lyrics to this song, I don't know what I've been singing for 20 years, but, you know, as we do in preparation for our episodes, it's like listening to these songs for the first time in a way. But just things like, and I'm throwing elbows.
You didn't get, and I'm throwing elbows?
No, I thought it was, ring the alarm, it's about to go on. Ring the alarm, it's about to go on.
I mean, that also sounds like it could be the lyric, yeah. But I'm throwing elbows. It's like, so, you know, it's like, and also in the music video, they're gesturing. So it's like, yeah, it's definitely aggressive. And you know what? Fun fact, that bit came from another song, which was what Dirty was based on.
David Lim, let's go there, because this was shocking information to me.
This was shocking information to me too. So speaking of like going back, researching for this episode and like learning new things, which is what I guess you're listening to this podcast for. Christina, after doing Lady Marmalade with the producer Rock Wilder, decided that she does want to pursue this more like hard-hitting R&B hip-hop sound. So she went to the producer, and Rock Wilder, interestingly enough, even though he did do Lady Marmalade with the other girls, he hasn't really worked with that many pop stars before. I think Janet Jackson's All For You album was probably the exception. So he primarily works with like rappers like Busta Rhymes, Jay-Z, Lil Kim, Method Man, Redman. So the idea came to him to base this track for Christina on Redman's 2001 single, Let's Get Dirty, in brackets, I Can't Get in the Club. Now, if you go listen to that track, which we will put a clip here, you can so clearly see where the references pull from.
See, the references more like slap you in the face and slap you in the arseless chaps with the references. They didn't use this song as a guide. This song lives in the world between a sample and a straight up remake. And I guess if it still heavily has the artist, then yeah, just go for it.
Yo, give me some room, I'm throwing elbows. Timberland boots, Air Force, and shell toes. Who the still? If I gotta pay to get in the club, I'ma go pop the trunk and turn the street volume up to 10. I ain't on a guest list, I ain't VIP. I snuck in the exit, learning DIP. My dress code is all black when I'm making the moves. Similar to the new PlayStation 2. I can't help it if the club only packing the.
You know how Mariah does, you know, the R&B versions? This could have been Redman's pop version and still be his song featuring Christina. It's that close, or, you know, it lives so much in that world.
It is, but you never ever hear the Redman song being brought up in interviews or referenced or anything like that. I guess just maybe seemed like Christina's camp wanted to play that one down a bit and, you know, really make the emphasis that this was dirty, yeah, and this was her idea and everything. But when you put those two side by side, especially when you listen to Redman's rap bridge inside Dirty, like you can really hear the instrument.
A lot of copy and paste going on there, darling.
At first on surface, you're like, oh, it's really cool that she got Redman on it. But when you know now where the song's idea came from, I think it's a very classy move to invite the rapper to be part of it, rather than just appropriating the sound and, you know, trying to run off as if it's your idea. I'm glad he agreed to be on the track with Christina. Together they can own this moment, this sound.
And that's why there's never been any talk of it's a rip-off, it's a cover, it's a sample, it's, you know, whatever, because it's...
Yeah, because the producer was in it, he was in it, so it felt like a handshake emoji moment. Yeah.
A handshake emoji, and, you know, if I was Redman, I'd be like, you can do that, I'll be on the track.
Didn't realise this was going to be a Redman side feature episode, but there you go to all our hip-hop fans listening, this is the moment you've been waiting for.
You are listening to Right Back At You, the 2000s Hip Hop Podcast on our Redman special. No, absolutely. But yeah, really brand new information to me that. And I can't believe, I love that it's 20 years down the line and we're still finding, to me and you, finding out what's brand new information to us. So David, shall we talk about this music video?
Oh, incredible. A true pop culture moment. Directed by David LaChapelle.
Had to be directed by David LaChapelle. This premiered on MTV on September the 30th, 2002.
On my birthday.
Oh, what a birthday treat for you.
Assless chaps.
My God, that's what I'm going to get you.
I couldn't ask my mum for it back in 2002, but yeah.
You can ask Jolie. It was described as a post-apocalyptic orgy, which I think sums it up.
I didn't get post-apocalyptic. I just got kind of like grimy underground club orgy. Yeah, but
dirty.
Yeah.
It gives dirty.
It gives dirty. This... It gives sweatbox. Yeah. I wouldn't like to comment.
I don't know if they've reupholstered. Yeah. But,
20 years ago, maybe. Yeah.
There's dirty boxing, dirty showers, general dirty goings on, and of course, dirty dancing. So basically, as you said, DL, sweatbox. Now, watching it visually, this could have been the debut music video from Nicky Hilton. Look at Christina visually in the face.
I don't know about you, but when this came out, it wasn't so much of a shock because we were coming from Lady Marmalade. So I feel like she'd already set the tone that, you know, she was going for a more sexy, more provocative image. I mean, when did Britney's Slave for You come out? I think Britney's Slave for You came out the year before. So we had already gotten used to the idea of our pop girlies going in a sexier, more edgy direction. So I was ready for this.
Yeah, and I think, look, we don't want to do comparisons. That's not what we're here to do. But if the Undisputed Princess of Pop, Britney, does Slave for You and Christina's trying to do something edgier, you have to go. You don't have to. No one has to do anything. It seemed very much it was something she wanted to do, and it was a correct choice to, you know, it seemed like this whole era, you go for it and then you go for it. Full commitment.
Yeah, and it seems like in this era, she was calling the shots because the label RCA wanted Beautiful to be the first single. Christina really pushed them to release Dirty first because she said it was a true reflection of her persona or something.
She was throwing elbows.
she was throwing elbows in a boardroom, yeah.
Elbows. And I just have to say, in the music video, I love the down to the floor and roly-poly move.
Oh, gorgeous. My favorite bit is the shower scene. You know, them dancing in the shallow waters, like...
Gorgeous. Ugh,
it's incredible. And
it's
also...
like sexy Titanic.
Sexy Titanic. Also, Christina took boxing lessons to prepare for the fight scene in the video. Very telling, the female boxer was a blonde in pigtails. We know kind of what that's in reference to, maybe. Cheeky.
Throwing elbows. So in 2008's review... for her first greatest hits, Keeps Getting Better, Live Laugh Levine called Dirty the sluttiest, sweatiest club banger in recent memory.
Wow. And that was before Nicole Scherzinger released Club Banger Nation.
Top two on the Live Laugh Levine playlist there, I'm sure.
Now, there was a bit of controversy about this video, wasn't there, in Thailand when it first came out?
Yes.
So this was banned on Thai television due to illegal sexual content in the posters in the background, which the director, Christina, they didn't know about it. But I definitely remember that being a story that circulated very quickly after the video went out. And to me, you know, as a kid in high school reading about it, I was like, oh, you know, that just adds to the scandal and the kind of aura of this whole era. It just makes it a little bit more shocking and a little bit more daring.
It was about time for her arrival. She was going for... controversy. She was making a statement and she just wanted it to be dirty, to be honest with you. Filthy, nasty. And you know how that you slightly think, say, go for it while you can. And 22, she's young, but she's like really young, but also old enough to be empowered and go for it. And that's something you look back on and you'd be like, I'm just glad I did that when I could, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, she didn't play it safe for too long. You know, it was always made very known that in the first album era, especially, that she felt like she was not able to have her say. And, you know, this is what the label wanted. But I feel like someone like Christina, she could never stay subdued or, you know, playing second fiddle for too long, which is something you absolutely love about her.
In pop culture, this was famously parodied by Queen Sarah Michelle Gellar when she hosted SNL, an honour and a rite of passage. There was this big standout performance for this song, David, in the 2002 MTV Europe Music Awards. Kaggy did a big performance of Dirty. She entered on a motorbike and then she recreated the boxing ring sequence on stage for her performance.
I find it very interesting that the only big TV look moment that I could tell from this side of Christmas anyway, for the record, was the EMAs. Because it felt like America maybe didn't understand Dirty. Like, it felt like the love was coming from international, like UK, Europe, Australia, Asia, maybe. And they were already thinking, okay, let's just go there and push this record as hard as we can outside America, would you say?
Yeah, you know, they knew they had other stuff coming that they were going to eat up probably. So it's like, let's just go for it and go for it. And speaking of international, David, for some it's Grammys, but she won what to us is one of the most coveted awards. In 2003, Christina Aguilera won the MOBO Award for Video of the Year for Dirty. And she had some hugely strong contenders. The nominees were Beyonce, Crazy in Love, Ashanti, Rock With You, Missy Elliott, Work It, Big Brother's New Flow, and Mystique, Scandalous. What a year, David.
What a year for videos, yes.
Kagi couldn't make it, but she won, and that is where Redman accepted it on her behalf. So, David, this was a huge hit. Now, clearly people in Australia did love it. It went in and peaked at number 4 on the Arias. Here in the UK, David, it was a number 1 smash hit. It was also number 1 on the UK hip hop /R&B charts.
I love it. Certified platinum, stayed on top of the charts here in the UK for 2 weeks.
Back to school, it's all we were talking about. Trying to get Dirty in the playground.
Can you imagine Ireland, if part of the plan was like, okay, if Dirty doesn't work in the UK, let's get Talisa on for the remix.
Yeah. I mean, it would be probably more Lisa Mafia than Talisa. Or Alicia.
Oh my God. If it was today, you know how we love a kind of remix situation. Yeah. You know, just pile on the features. Yes. Kagi featuring Lisa Mafia and Alicia Dixon, the UK baddies remix. Oh,
you could have Christina in the middle. Gonna get my girls, Lisa Mafia, and my girls, Alicia Dixon.
Christina, we're coming back strong.
Getting dirty in my little thong. Got your asses chaps and here we go. Get it dirty, bring it back around.
Oh my God, the spirit of Alicia Dixon took over.
Thank you, Alicia. Where else? Now, interestingly, David, as you were saying, in America, it peaked at number 48 on the US Billboard Hot 100. Still a respectful entry, but yes, very ahead of its time, especially for Middle America.
Number 48 is great, but it was Christina's first single to not enter the top 20 on the Billboard Hot 100. So I'm sure RCA was a little bit freaking out, but Christina insisted that this should be the first single and she knew what she was doing. She was going for the shock factor. She told Blender magazine that, look, when you are bold and open, artistically speaking, and in music and in video, a whole bunch of people automatically feel threatened by you, especially in Middle America.
And that's that on that.
And that's that on that. Ha ha.
And it was a very clever move because I bet you everyone in America was talking about this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we knew what happened. Look, it was a big pop cultural moment. It was parodied on SNL. It got her the publicity. So even if she didn't get that, you know, continued streak of top 20 hits in the States, I felt that that song was so big in itself, like yeah, it kind of eclipsed the chart position story.
Absolutely, because everyone knew about it. I bet now in America, I bet it goes off in her concerts. But yeah, I think it was very clever because I'm sure it was on everyone's lips, which then meant it opened the door for all the later singles to be such huge hits because they were ready to accept them if they weren't ready to accept this, but they were aware they would be coming.
So yeah, look, we're going to talk about this a little bit more when we get into Stripped, because I feel like this era, we really do put it in such high esteem. But, you know, even looking back at some of the material while we're researching for today's episode, I was just like, do you know what? There were times where it wasn't quite understood and received in a way that we now knowingly love it for. You know what I mean? So it's just interesting to put yourself back in 20 years ago's headspace.
Well, David Lim, I think that time is now. Let's go to October 2002 and let's get into Kagi Agi's. I would say it's her second album. Would you say it's her second album?
Look, this is her fourth studio album. Let's just say that.
You know, I bend the facts. I'm not a PR. You have to state the facts.
Yeah, sure, because we PRs always state the facts.
I can say what I want and put it on that out there. Do you know what I mean? Well, anyway, here in the UK, it felt like her second album. That's all I'm going to say. Where do we begin with this album?
Jollibee, what a sensational fourth studio album. This is by Al Kagi. It spawned 5 hit singles. It's really interesting to even look back and see like a whole new generation of artists like Selena Gomez and Demi Lovato referencing Stripped as
Joel Babington.
The JB, yes. So this feels like the arrival of Kagi, the artist. You know, this is the first album she exec produced.
I know we kind of say it semi-frequently in this pod, but like this era was huge. Definitive. Literally, it was the moment. There was no escaping it. No escaping it. And I literally feel like I can still taste it in my mouth when we look at these videos, when we listen to these songs. It was that prominent.
It was that prominent in all of our minds. You know, I was in Australia at the time. You're here in the UK. I'm sure listeners everywhere in the world can feel the impact of this Stripped era. Like, it was such a big global hit album. Sonically, you know, Christina was trying lots of different things here. It is primarily a pop R&B album, but you know, there are elements of soul music, there's rock, there's hip hop, there's Latin music in there. And you know, I can sort of see the comparisons to Janet Jackson's Janet album in some ways, you know, in the sense that like the tone of it being quite sexually liberated and also the diversity of genres on the album. Like, I can definitely see the comparisons to the Janet album. But let's start with the artwork, JB. Shout out to the amazing photography by Miranda Penturin. She shot the entire album campaign for Stripped. What do you think of the artwork?
David, I used to have a big poster of the Stripped front cover on my bedroom wall.
Is it like that old tweet where it was like, oh, my mum thinks I'm interested in women or something, and these are the women?
These are the women. Here she is.
Kagi, Stripped.
Meanwhile, it's just me in my bedroom trying to recreate Dirty.
Ladies, move. Gentlemen, move.
Ring the alarm. It's about to go off. It's not the chaps, but there is sort of like stuff going on there in the jeans that it sort of does visually tally up, but it's also like raw, relaxed, vulnerable, open. Christina, black and white.
The more I look at this artwork, the more I really think it's genius for the album. You know, it really does sum up the duality of Stripped. You know, it's a sexy, confident image, but also there's vulnerability and there's an element of timelessness to it. It almost looks slightly, you know, that pose with her with the eyes closed and her head tilted upwards. It almost looks like a figure from like an old religious painting. There's like something very transcendent and spiritual about it as well.
Yeah. And like every time I look at it, I can just imagine her listening to this album.
Yeah. She's taking it all in, just basking, being vulnerable, being open. And I like that. You know, people can say what they want about this image. It is provocative and whatnot. And of course, we know in some regions in the world that there is a more censored version of this image for the album cover. They Photoshop on like longer sleeves and like a long skirt or something. But I think this is iconic.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely iconic.
So, JB, shall we talk about the diverse range of collaborators that Kagi tapped up for Stripped? So we got Linda Perry, 4 Non-Blondes. The year before, Linda was, you know, starting to gain mainstream attention as a songwriter for her work on Pink's Misunderstood album. So Kagi was sort of next in line, the next pop star in line to work with Linda. And together, they really made some excellent, excellent songs on this album. Scott Storch, prior to Christina, you know, didn't really work with pop stars. He mainly worked with rappers like Exhibit and Dr. Dre. So he's...
I was so surprised when I saw Scott Storch all over this album, because we see him in the later stuff, you know, the Paris Hilton, the Jessica Simpson, the club bangers.
Yeah, but like really, Stripped was the album that put Scott Storch on the pop path and radar.
I was shooketh. Range.
You know, she took some unexpected paths with this in terms of collaborators, because it's not necessarily the typical hit makers you expect, is it?
No.
Alicia Keys, she was a hot newcomer at the time. Fallen, of course, was one of the biggest songs in 2001. And then she ends up joining Christina, doing a song on this album for her. And of course, our girl Lil' Kim, as seen on Lady Marmalade. She's been a longtime Kagi fan, so... nice to see that link up as well. Girl power.
Had to get it on there. Had to get it on there. Shall we start talking about tracks on this album?
Let's talk about our album track highlights before we get into the single. JB, you go first. Tell me your number one favorite album track here.
Well, I want to just start off. It's not obviously, it's not my number one favorite, but I just want to talk about the intro. Very interesting to take these press snippets, pop culture stuff. There's Britney mentioned in there. To open this album with hearing essences of Britney Christa rivalry, Britney Christina, Britney Christina telling her side of the story, da da da. Just very, very interesting. And did you notice there is that hauntingly version sound of the oh, it's just hidden in there in the background, but a more haunting sound. And I'm like, wow, this really taking chapter one and putting it in here, but saying this is who I am and what I'm doing.
Nice. And I love that. I actually really love when artists do intros and interludes and stuff like that on the album. Also, first of all, you can take that on tour with you. So if you put in the time and the work and the start of your album making cycle, you've already got that track figured for your tour show opener, haven't you?
Exactly. And she did.
See, queen of forward planning, Kagi Aggie.
But in terms of, look, I want to kick off with the one I gave a shout out to you for, Latin pop number Infatuation. Fabulous spicy number there.
Oh, this is a nice one. To be honest with you, not really one I went for in my early days of listening to Stripped, but it is a bop.
It's an absolute bop. And, you know, we've got a lot going on here, so it's not like a bop-filled album. So not in a bad way, like it's a fantastic album, but it's great to take these moments when they come.
Exactly. I think, you know, again, not to compare, but like going back to the influence of Janet Jackson and the Janet album and stuff like that, you know, those are more longer form albums where it just felt like the artist was free to explore different sounds and things. So I think this is what Christina's doing in the Stripped album. You know, it may feel a little bit indulgent in times, but the hit singles more than make up for it.
Much like when Martine McCutcheon's debut album only had like two up-tempos on it. We went straight for it. Rainy days, Chardonnay.
Speaking anyway, of critically acclaimed albums, yes.
Exactly. For the adult contemporary market. What about you, David? What's your top standout album track?
JB, the one I was drawn to from day one of listening to Stripped is... impossible, impossible to love you. Oh.
This is not a circus, don't you play me for a clown. How long can emotions keep on going up and down?
Stunning, because even when you're listening to it, you just imagine that stage, that piano, a single spotlight.
In some of these tracks, you know, the intro that you were talking about, it is quite visual in a sense. So yeah, you do feel like you're in an underground piano bar with Alicia Keys. And, you know, I think you can even hear a bit of ambience of people like cleaning up glasses or something around you. So it really does make you feel like you're in a bar. Doom, 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 doom. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, it's just like, oh, we're just riffing. It's just the two of us. And, you know, I was really into Alicia Keys' first album era. I mean, all those singles were really just so prominent in my mind. So when I knew that she was going to be on this album and there's this song Impossible, went straight to it. And I was like, oh, my God, this literally sounds like an Alicia Keys song. But Kagi obviously brought her flavor to it. But you can really hear Alicia in it every step of the way. She not only vocal produced Christina, she produced the track, she wrote the song. So it's just, it feels very pure in that collaboration between the two of them.
Yeah, gorgeous. They've not worked together since, have they?
I'm not sure if they have worked together since, but yeah, this feels very special. And if you go on YouTube, there are like kind of behind the scenes stuff of them in a studio together. And it's just so interesting to see them both like at this time in their careers and in their lives when they were so young and just like, you know, it's just a little bit raw. Like, obviously, Christina's like a polished entertainer. She's a child star. But like Alicia Keys is still like, she just seemed very cool and just like the boss of the situation. You can tell she knew what she was doing in the studio. She just had an aura about her. I just loved it.
Another one for me is, and I've been relating to it at the moment, you know, when we're all feeling a bit ground down, underappreciated.
Can you imagine you take over the office stereo and this song is just on repeat?
I've been listening to this Christina Aguilera track a lot at the minute. I can really relate to the lyrics. And, you know, got that gusto. Oh, I feel underappreciated.
Oh, I love a little touch.
Bit of Anastasia.
Anastasia, a little bit of Cher, foreshadowing to the burlesque movie. Love it, love it, love it. Speaking of the vocal styles, I do want to give a shout out to I'm Okay.
Oh, wow.
The deeply, deeply personal song that Christina did with Linda Perry. Again, if you look on YouTube, there's footage of her recording this in a session with Linda where she's lying flat on the floor. You know, we hear Christina do lots of different things on this album with her voice. And obviously, if you've loved the first few albums, you know she can really belt. But to hear her doing this track where it's so fragile and so folky and so raw with emotion without the theatrics, it's really quite refreshing, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so interesting that you mentioned that clip, because I didn't get to see that in preparation for this episode, but I remember seeing that on TV back in that day. And that clip of her laying on the floor in the studio has lived rent-free in my mind ever since.
I often wonder why I've carried all this guilt when it's you that helped me put up all these walls I've built. Shadows stir at night through a crack in the door. The echo of a broken child.
This was one of the things Christina credits Linda for in like trying to get a different vocal performance out of her, because she was so used to singing things in a note perfect way. Or, you know, as a vocalist like Christina, you're a perfectionist with how you want things to sound. But I think the way Linda taught her with recording some of these tracks is just to, you know, get the emotion out, and that's good enough. You know, you don't need to stress about the notes and the riffs and everything. And I mean, it's very personal. It's about the abusive household that she grew up in. Hurt to see the pain across my mother's face every time my father's fist would put her in her place. Hearing all the yelling, I would cry up in my room, hoping it would be over soon. Like, this is very personal.
Very. And I know, you know, her aim was to really put it all out there and do this personal album. And she absolutely achieved that with songs like this. So fantastic work, Christina. Let's change the pace slightly. Let's speak about some Sugar Babes controversy with Makeover.
Speaking of Linda Perry, yeah, I mean, I'm sure Miss Perry got that strongly worded email from Mucha Buena.
Excuse me. I just went to Woolworths, right? I went to buy the new Christina. I couldn't wait because I love Christina. And I was absolutely shocked. I just think the disrespect of it, really. Like, and the original member with us at the time, Siobhan, she'd gone now. So I asked the new girl, Heidi, because she sings the song on her tour. And she just thought, there's something not right about that. It sounds really like your track, Overload Girl. So we've had to get the lawyers involved, Linda. You know, don't make a thing out of it. We just get it sorted, yeah?
We just want 5%.
Just want 5%. Make it 10%.
Heidi comes in. Can we make it 15%? Is that all right with you, Miss Perry?
Is that all right with you?
I don't know why I can't feel inside. I'm trying to hide, can't make it all right. It's overkill. Now I'm ready to fight.
An interesting song on its own. Oh, you know, rock, pop, guitar-driven track that sounds a lot like Sugar Babes Overload, allegedly.
I mean, it's not so allegedly. They did win the tussle over it, and Mucha Keisha Siobhan and Cameron McVeigh and whoever else was on Overload got credited in later pressings of Stripped. Although, not to dob anyone in, you got Stripped on vinyl.
Yeah, we had a good old look at it the other day.
And it wasn't in it. Oh, no. Don't alert Mucha. Get Linda on the phone.
Yeah, look, I don't know when that pressing is from. I can't imagine it is the first ever pressing, but who knows?
But yeah, look, it's one of those free-flowing experimental songs on Stripped where it just feels like, look, the artist just wants to express herself and try something different and, you know.
So we borrowed a track from another artist.
Now, JB, I do want to give a shout out to one of my favorite songs on the album. And this is like a true fave that I still play very much to this very day. Loving Me For Me.
Oh, brilliant.
Very tender, very sweet ballad, you know, showing a more sweeter, vulnerable side of Christina.
And of yourself, clearly.
Oh, yeah. Very soft and sensual.
Unconditionally, you're there for me, undeniably. You inspire me spiritually. It's incredible, pleasurable, unforgettable. The way I feel,
it's very like a morning after song, isn't it? You can imagine like just waking up snuggled in bed together. You know, the birds are chirping outside, sunlight creeping in.
I mean, especially after you've just had Love's Embrace interlude.
Right.
To get you into it.
I love it. Yeah. And, you know, I just remember at the time listening to this album, thinking that this song was a very cute companion to Michael Jackson's Invincible album track, Butterflies. It's just sweet and very picturesque, the lyrics, you know. People ask if I'm in love with you because I'm sitting here with your picture and smiling to myself. Like, it just seems very quaint.
Yeah, very cute.
Cutesy. Cutesy Kagi.
Cutesy Christina. Now, David, I think another one that is fantastic is Cruise. Just, you know, I'm leaving today. Beautiful track.
I'm leaving today.
I'm leaving it. I'm leaving it today. I mean, what a track.
Could have been a country song if she really wanted to take it down that road.
What's up for you then, Davo?
Okay, I just got one more that I just want to shout out before everyone gets bored with us.
They could never.
Let me get mine, you get yours.
David, In my notes, it says, get mine, get yours. Feel like this is a DL track.
It is a little bit of a DL track, you know, a sexual liberation anthem. But I mean, I love that it's so, obviously, you know, we know Christina's sexy. She told us that we're dirty. But like, this is just in your face, just saying, hey, it's a no strings attached bop. We spend time just enough so you get yours and I get mine. No strings attached. I want your body, not your heart. The Grindr anthem. Let's have it.
See you on DL's next project.
I do feel like if this had a better production, it could have been a very slick single. I feel like sonically, it feels very muddled, like they didn't quite know what they were going for. But if it had more focus, it was like a cooler R&B production, could be single number 6.
So Davo, this got nominated for multiple Grammys and included a win and has gone on to be one of the most influential albums of all time, inspiring a generation of artists, Demi, Selena, myself, Sabrina Carpenter. Sold to over 10 million copies worldwide, making it one of the best-selling albums of the 21st century.
I thought it was very interesting that, you know, we're here showing lots of love and respect for it as it deserves. But, you know, looking back at some of the critics' quotes for Stripped when it came out, someone said, it sounds like an artist who was given too much freedom too early and has no idea what to do with it. John Perales of the New York Times called Stripped a blast of excess that risk alienating Miss Aguilera's old fans without luring in new ones, and it's bursting with misguided energy. Now, I think it's interesting that all that said, but I think, you know, looking back 20 years on, you just go, wow, this was a risky album. And I know Christina in the press at the time was keep going on about, oh, you know, I love to take risk. I have to take risk. I'm an artist. But when you put it in the context of what she had to lose as a big hit pop star that made, you know, radio ready hits, this really was experimental.
This might have not been what a girl wanted.
It was exactly what this girl wanted.
Exactly.
But not what the girlies wanted, maybe.
But it actually was. The Kent girls, the Essex girls, they loved it. Because this was so, I think this album to that audience is even more relatable than we can ever tap into. I think it's a special album for us. It's a special album for Kagi, obviously. But I think it's such a special album to specifically female teenagers when this was growing up. I know looking at Kylie and her friends that like this album was it for them. They really felt seen and heard on it. Coming of age women, like this was their swan song album.
And we're about to get into singles after this. So we really are about to see all the mission statements that Kagi put up for Stripped, because she spells it out like she did in the intro in all the hit singles to come. So JB, you mentioned a Grammy before. It was nominated for Best Pop Vocal Album, but lost to Justin Timberlake, Justified.
It wasn't justified.
It was not justified at all,
honestly.
It was also nominated in 2004 for a Brit Award for Best International Album, and again, it lost to JT.
Straight right.
Hell no.
So in the UK, it debuted at number 19 on the UK album charts, but peaked at number 2, which is absolutely phenomenal. In Australia, it went in and peaked at number 7 on the ARIA charts, but number 1 on the Australian Urban Album charts. Top 3 in Canada, number 6 in Germany, number 2 in Ireland, number 5 in New Zealand, number 2 on the Scottish album charts.
Thank you, Scotland.
And number 2 on the US Billboard 200. So this is straight after Dirty. So it's still that people are paying attention and did go out and buy it. So
she got her fan base. She was ready. And also the single that comes after Dirty was a big serve. And I have no doubt the minute the album was coming out, they were already getting to work with Beautiful.
Rush releasing it, going, come on.
Yep, let's get this on Middle America's radar.
It's interesting you say that because, as we'll get into, I'm sure, you know, the music video wasn't as such Middle America.
No, Kagi was subversive. She did her thing. So shall we now dive into November 2002, Beautiful?
Oh, please.
No matter what they say, words can't bring me down. I am beautiful.
Christina had started working with Linda Perry, and it was, I believe it was to break the ice when they were like getting to know each other, that Linda played this song for Christina and she loved it. She had to have it. They decided to demo record it with Christina singing on it, and everyone was shook off.
Now, the thing with Beautiful is that it's a song that's very close and very personal to Linda Perry. You know, this was one that she held very close to her chest. She had this earmarked to be her solo single. So it felt like she wasn't just going to give it to anyone, but it almost felt like once she heard the demo that Christina laid down for it, she was like, oh God, yeah, this is right. And the fun thing is that demoed vocal is what we hear on the recording today. You know, I'm sure Christina would have been like, oh, I could do that note better. Let me go in the booth and I'll do that part again. And she was like, no, it's like, this is it. You got it.
Yeah, they wanted that vulnerability, that imperfection. I mean, there's no imperfection to me. And I love that even the don't look at me, was just something Christina was saying as she was in the booth. She didn't want her friend to look at her, and it ended up staying on the track. I do think this is one of the most, like, again, something we say a lot, but this is one of the most prominent songs of our lifetime.
You know, the positioning of going from shocking everyone with Dirty and that music video to coming back with something quite universally themed as a song, Beautiful. You know, that formula, not very many pop stars can pull that off. You know, we saw Miley do it with her Bangers era. She had We Can't Stop. And then she went to Wrecking Ball. Like, and then suddenly Wrecking Ball was the big global radio hit. You know, people were like, oh, she can really sing and this song slaps and wow.
Shall we talk about the music video, Dave?
Oh, yeah. Get into it, JB.
So, right. Directed by Jonas Åkerlund, who had won a Grammy for directing Madonna's Ray of Light, David.
Oh,
and all I got to say is, wow, it's raw. It's so on the nose, but so tastefully done.
Did you feel it was on the nose when you first saw it as a kid?
I did, because I thought it was taking the top line of all the storylines that you're showing, an obvious top line thing of what to do. Not maybe not obvious, but a top line thing of what to do, but so, so tastefully and beautifully done that, to me, this is the first genuine bit of representation that I saw that wasn't a joke, wasn't a caricature. And I think that was the same for a lot of us.
To see a trans woman, to see some, you know, even male body image issues being addressed in there, and whitewashing in the media being addressed in this video, anorexia. I think I probably shed a tear the first time I saw this on video hits. I've never seen a video like this before.
We'd seen people before, like Madonna, like Kate Bush doing stuff like this, but no one in our 2000s pop landscape had managed to do it this way yet, like Christina had done. The music video went on to receive a GLAAD Media Award for its positive portrayal of gay and transgender people. Which Christina went to accept, which I think is so deserved for this song. So awards for Beautiful, it won the Grammy Award for Best Pop Vocal Performance. It was also nominated for Song of the Year. In 2011, Stonewall named Beautiful as the most empowering song of the previous decade for gay, lesbian and bisexual people. And in 2009, Rolling Stone and VH1 listed it as one of the best songs of the 2000s, Dave-O. And I just want to give a shout out to a stunning performance of both Impossible and Beautiful that Christina gave at the American Music Awards in 2003.
Amazing. Now talk about, you know, trying to address middle America or mainstream America. It's like, let me give you the vocals that you know me for, because I've got that on this album too. And, you know, I've got sexy bops, so let me get mine, you get yours.
And I feel like even the single cover, that like black and white of a hand here looking down.
Don't look at me.
Push the button on the cover and it'll say it. Don't look at me. I just feel like that's so prominent. Like, I feel like that is such a like a strong visual that I remember from the time. So,
oh yeah, it was everywhere in Target, HMV, JB Hi-Fi.
You really couldn't escape it in Australia, David. It was a number one smash hit on the ARIA charts. I wonder if the Young Divas had stayed together, if they'd gone past the 80s with a few more albums, if they'd entered the 90s and the 2000s. I feel like the Young Divas could have done a beautiful cover of Beautiful.
Oh, we will talk about the Young Divas in a bit. It's in my notes.
Really? Yeah. Oh, fantastic.
I've got an idea for the girlies. Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. Well, listen on, girls. Stay tuned. Number one in Canada. Number one in Ireland, number one in Lithuania, number one in New Zealand, number one in Romania, number one in Scotland. Thank you, Scotland.
Oh, yes, Romania. Thank you, Seb.
Thank you, Seb. Bless him. Number one here in the UK, number two on the US Billboard Hot 100, and number one on the US Adult Contemporary.
She's back. Ha ha.
She never went away. Ha ha. But she's back and stronger than ever. And you know what, David? She's a fighter.
Yep. March 2003, let's talk about the Dead Rocker. Third single off Stripped. JB, what were your first thoughts of this?
Oh, well, you know, this is a bit of me, David. You know how I love the pop rock girlies. Loved it then, love it now. Love to rock out to it in my bedroom. When we lived together and I was home alone and there were people in our like front garden and I rang the police and blah, blah. But before that, I really didn't know what to do when they were still in the front garden. So I was like, right, I'll just put on some like rock music. And in panicking, I put on Kelly Osbourne's album because I didn't know what to put on.
That was Scare Away Intruders. Yeah, for real.
Like, let's go Dead Rocker.
I thought you were going to say you blasted Fighter. And,
no,
you know,
I should have.
The power of Kaggy's vocals blew them away.
He's here. The fighter's here. He's ready for you. I just want to say, I think this song is the reminder sometimes that we all need. So gays, girlies, they, thems, straight man, if you're listening, blast this song loud if you need it and remind yourself. This huge empowerment banger. I loved it, David. I don't remember being surprised or shocked by any of this stuff. I just remember loving it straight away. Being like, let's go, Kaggers, I'm ready. Even Dirty, I was like, fabulous. I was a very, very liberal 10-year-old.
Love it. Yeah. Well, it was obviously came at a perfect time for you. You know, this was a time where rock was well and truly already dominating the pop world. Avril Lavigne's debut album dominated 2002, going into 2003. Evanescence's Bring Me to Life would be released the following month after Fighter.
Bring me up inside. Bloody
hell. Oh, God. And then Kelly Clarkson would debut a few months later. And obviously her breakaway era
Ashley
follows.
Simpson.
Ashley would follow. But, you know, Fighter was one of the first like big heavy rock songs by one of our pop girlies. I remember going, okay, bold, but also like in Australia, we do love a bit of rock. So we weren't afraid of this song, like radio jumped on it straight away.
And really on an album like this, it's one of the more, although it's rock for a pop star, really one of the more mainstream leaning songs.
Yeah. And also there's nothing on the album that sounds like it. And you might think that Kaggy worked with someone else different, but no, it's Scott Storch again.
I was shocked.
I thought it was a different producer, but I mean, she's got Dave Navarro from Jane's Addiction on guitars, but still, come on, Scott Storch, that range.
Get that Heidi range out. Music video, David. I don't know how to describe it. Do you know how to describe the video?
Seeing all the moths and everything, that was quite an interesting take on transformation. Because, you know, we see the whole story about butterflies emerging and that's transformation. But I love that they used really like not necessarily pretty insects for this. You know, Christine is like a giant black widow spider and then there are moths everywhere. So it just felt like a very dark, poetic take on the theme of transformation. Wouldn't you say?
I would say that was eloquently put. So, David, in this, she wears a white moth dress that is designed by Jeremy Scott.
Oh.
And then around this time, Al Extina made her runway debut in one of his shows. And on the night, she was interviewed by Nikki and Paris Hilton.
Wow. doesn't get more Y2K than that.
That is pop culture of the time. And both of them were saying, like, I know you're sick of hearing it, I'm sure, but we love the dirty video. And I'm like, of course you love it, Nikki. It looks like you.
Now, the fighter video was directed by Floria Sigismondi, who, again, this is a talent that hasn't really worked with pop stars before.
Did Coco Pop cereal advert.
Directed Marilyn Manson and David Bowie's videos. So again, I feel like the team for Kagi and Kagi herself, you know, they were really pulling creatives from other field to come into Christina's orbit and create this story. And I love this video. I must say though, my little brother, who was like 4 or 5 years old when this came out, he told me years later that he used to find this video quite scary. He hates spiders. And I don't know if this was one of the earliest triggers for this phobia, but...
Traumatized, just staring at the screen like, what is this?
It's a giant woman spider.
It's all right. It's just Auntie Kagi. Well, Sean, I hope you are okay now. And David won't be getting Big Brother of the Year anytime soon. So on behalf of Davo, I do apologize. Sean. So, David, this single was a top five smash hit on the Arias. You were lapping up the rock, the arena rock star that she is. In New Zealand, it went in at number 14. Here in the UK, peaked at number 3, but it peaked at number 2 on the UK rock and metal charts.
Metallica shook.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Number 20 in America, but number 5 on the US mainstream top 40. Gold in Australia, UK, and the US. Also in March 2003, Christina was the musical guest on SNL, where Selma Hayek was the host. What a double co-headliner that is. And she sung Beautiful and the first televised performance of Fighter. Mm. So Davo, and I do suggest to look up, she looked gorgeous. She looked like 2010 Xtina. It was like a snapshot into the future. Let's go to July 2003. Even if you didn't want us to, you can't hold us down.
So, what am I not supposed to have an opinion? Should I keep quiet just because I'm a woman? Call me a bitch, cause I speak what's on my mind. Guess it's easier for you to swallow if I sat and smile. When a female fires back, suddenly me talk, I don't know how to act. So, that's what any little boy would do. Making up a few false promises.
I think this is one of the standout singles.
Oh,
of
yeah.
The album, and one of the most memorable, especially growing up in Romford with older sisters and like over listening to her friends. This is a real standout.
When a female fires back, suddenly a guy don't know how to act. Ugh. This song is just bars after bars of just like taking down the patriarchy, taking down double standards in society, the way women's sexuality is policed and controlled. I mean, in this day and age, with everything that's going on in current times, I feel like this song could be readapted. You know, it still rings very relevant.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a real feminist anthem then and now, as you were saying. Like, let's just blast it out for the world to hear every morning. Like, put men in their place, you know. So Eve was originally meant to be on this track, which I found very interesting.
But I think that Lil' Kim is right for this, you know. And I think out
worked
of...
together already.
Exactly. And also like...
had the rapport.
And when you think of female rappers that really embrace their sexuality and are very, you know, pushing the boundaries with that, that's Lil' Kim.
David, let's talk about this music video. We've got David LaChapelle back again, inspired by the Lower East Side of New York City in 1980s. I just love that, like, glistening New York feel, but with that sweaty, grimy feel, like the sort of that sweat, much like how I look now, balmy and sweaty, gives it a glisten in like, in a dirty way, but in that grimy but gorgeous way.
And I mean, I would say this is also very David LaChapelle, this video, you know, in terms of the colors. And I totally didn't get the 80s reference, but now that you've said it, yeah, they were pretty blatant about it. The boombox that Christina's carrying, and also obviously the colors, the clothing, like it is.
Oh my God, give me Christina's purple outfit. Love it.
I don't know why I never saw the 80s reference. Now I can't unsee it. It's great.
That is what Glitter should have looked like. Imagine if David LaChapelle had directed Glitter. Like, that film would have been a force to reckon with.
For sure.
Can't Hold Us Down was nominated for Best Pop Collaboration with Vocals at the 2004 Grammy Awards,
yes,
but lost to Whenever I Say Your Name by Sting and Mary J. Blige. Now, I'll be honest, I apologize to the girls, but I do not know that song.
And I love Mary J. Blige, but yeah, it should have gone to our girlies, Kim and Chrissy.
So, again, another top five hit in Australia. You guys were eating it up. Number two on the Australian Urban Charts. Number nine on the European Hot 100, two in Iceland, five in Ireland, two in New Zealand. Thank you, New Zealand. Seven in Scotland, six here in the UK, 12 on the US Billboard Hot 100. So then June till September 2003, she kicked off the Justified and Strip Tour across America with former Mouseketeer chum Justin Timberlake. But David, let's jump to August 2003.
Yes, we've got the MTV VMAs, very infamous, huge pop culture moment, the Madonna Britney Christina performance with Missy Elliott.
Wow.
Dum 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 dum. What's your memory of this performance? Like, you as a big fan, obviously there's two of your Fab Fours.
David, I remember almost exploding with excitement because everyone was talking about it. I don't know if you're ever the same, but it's just exciting to have so many people talking about your phase. I'm not interested in the controversy or people thinking it's salacious or anything like that. I just am like, I love these pop stars. I just remember watching in anticipation.
I mean, obviously, Like a Virgin is a song we all know. So when the opening bar starts and then you hear Britney do the verse, you're like, oh my God, that is Britney's voice. Like, and she sounds amazing doing it. And then the second bride lifts the veil.
Kaggy's arrived.
But she's again, entered the
true
chat.
True Kent girly coming in, strutting in, dun, 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 waving the bouquet in her arms, got the mic.
Like a virgin.
Ha! And then Madonna comes in. And then everyone that's listening knows that they share a kiss. Madonna and Britney kiss, then Madonna and Christina kiss. Cuts to Justin Timberlake having a reaction. We don't need that reaction at all. But the kiss stole the spotlight. And this concept truly went viral long before going viral was a thing. I remember the newspaper doing a big fold-out poster of both the kisses, which I had to have. I was like, I need it.
No
I
way, the tabloids that. Here did that. Wow.
I mean, no wonder Wendy was confused when I came out because he's like, but Jolie, you had the stripped poster and the kiss poster.
So you had both of them up?
I don't know if the kiss poster ever went up, but I just had to have it.
Yeah.
Even I thought that's a bit too...
Too much.
A bit too much. But... when you watch it now, the kisses are really quite small. And I really think it overshadows the power of these performers and this performance. Like, they really did something here.
First of all, you've got the Queen of Pop, Madonna, and then it kind of feels like she's giving her seal of approval for these two pop princesses to come. And obviously Missy, top of her game as a female rapper, part of this performance as well. So yeah, it felt like a really great female in pop and female in music storyline.
Yeah, the original Multiverse of Madness.
It was just a cool female-fronted moment. But yeah, obviously the kiss was the big tabloid takeaway from it. But yeah, it's funny to look back, isn't it, that this kind of happened at this time. And, you know, in the context of Christina's career and her year, you know, she had so much going on, a huge hit album, so many hit singles, and this was slotted in there. You know, her moment was kind of lesser than the kiss between Britney and Madonna because of the camera cutting away, but maybe in a way it was fine. It worked out all
right. My takeaway from this is I just think it's such a shame that this is really the only Britney and Christina collab that we have. Like, imagine the greatness if they had done their own collab following this, like the year after, because you know it led to Britney and Christina doing Me Against the Music. Imagine In the Zone.
I want to get in the zone.
Ha, ha, ha.
Hey, Britney. Ha.
But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. The power, though, that Madonna had to get these girls together to all do this performance together. But the power of that in itself is absolutely phenomenal. What they did here was phenomenal. I just wish, as someone that is a huge fan of both of those girls, I wish we had, of both of those incredible women, should I say, I just wish we had another moment of them together following this. Also this night, David, Christina did do her own performance. She did a medley of Dirty and Fighter. Well, I got my own hits. Two of them, actually. We will get into it later, but from September to December, she ran on the Strip Tour, but we'll talk about that in a bit. So October 2003... final single of this incredible album, and what a way to round it out, Dave.
What a way to close out the Stripped era, the stunning fifth single, The Voice Within.
Again, and another song and reminder that we all need, written by Christina Aguilera and Glenn Ballard. Now, Glenn Ballard is very famous for working on Alanis's Jagged Little Pill album. So what caliber here?
And you know what? I would say this song became like a modern day standard for talent shows and auditions. You know, if you were doing like a singing competition, this will be a song you would want to do. Like, obviously do Beautiful, but I feel like that's an obvious choice.
When they say, have you got anything else? Yeah, Voice Within. Just a standout, a real showcase of her vocals, but also her as an artist, and a way to close out. Like, we've had so much going on in this era, so much fantastic, eclectic stuff. And what a note to end it on and close the Stripped era on.
It's almost like a love letter to her younger self, which we know there are more personal songs on Stripped, like I'm Okay, but to release a more personal song that kind of looks inward towards her personal experiences, you needed to have The Voice Within to complete the Stripped story, right? I must say, though, this song could have been a great Young Divas cover if they were to do a 2000s record. Four of our Australian Idol girlies belting.
And that could be like the no could all be like against each other, like against each other in a together way.
No one can no one can stop you. You know that I'm talking to you when there's no. Yeah. Ugh. You know, everyone gets a moment to shine. They get a line here to belt and another line there. And
oh, would love that. I would love that.
You could just hear this in like a four-part girl group, right? And do you know what's the best part, Jolie B? You don't have to imagine what that's like sung by a four-member girl group, because the Nolans covered this on their I'm In A Mood Again tour.
I'm speechless. I got a cheeky little smile on my face. I actually saw that and didn't put it in my notes on purpose.
When you're lost outside, look inside to your soul.
You know, we've mentioned the Nolans twice on our podcast now.
You have.
Yeah, I have. Maybe I'm a Nolan stan.
Nolan stan.
Yeah.
He's in the mood for dancing.
I'm a Nolita or whatever their fans are called. God. I don't know what they're called, but yeah.
Look, David, this song had a beautiful accompanying music video. Again, directed by David LaChapelle.
But very different to David LaChapelle's normal videos, yeah. Simple, black and white, all continuous one shot.
I mean, there's nothing simple about doing a continuous one shot. So, David, this was nominated for not one, not two, but three MTV Video Music Awards in 2004. Best Female Video, Viewer's Choice, and Best Cinematography. Number 8 in Australia, 7 in Austria, 10 in Canada, 3 in the Czech Republic, 4 in Ireland, 10 in Scotland, 9 here in the UK, 33 in the US Billboard Hot 100, 16 on the US Adult Contemporary, 11 on the US Mainstream Top 40.
Incredible. For a fifth single.
In November 2003, David, Christina Aguilera hosted the 2003 MTV Europe Music Awards. Now, that is a big deal. Now, if you've not seen it, guys, Christina Aguilera's intro is so good. There's a choir, a big, huge choir singing Dirty. Then Christina comes out in a nun's outfit.
Oh, so this is where it's from. Okay.
Yes. And then rips off the nun's outfit for her sexy kagiagi outfit on underneath. She serves looks here in this event. It's look, 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 look every time. And she also won Best Female that night.
Did you say this was in November?
Yes.
So she would have been in the middle of her stripped world tour at this point.
Well, what a great segue. Thank you, David Lim. So,
you know, you think we've been doing this a few years.
Waited a long time for this. Ha, ha, ha. In September till December 2003, she was doing the strip tour. Now, that covered Europe, Asia and Australia. So if it coincided with the European dates, our girl was around.
But yeah, how wild it was in her schedule to like cram that in the diary in the middle of a tour. You just wouldn't see that happen these days, would you?
Oh, it was the 2000s, darling. If the EMAs call, you go run in. There were due to be US dates of this tour, but unfortunately they got cancelled due to vocal injuries. She had previously just done the co-headlining tour with Justin this year.
Exactly. So it's
just
a
slightly more fuller version of that tour, I imagine. There's a DVD of it live in the UK released on DVD, which I have.
And I have as well, yes.
Did you have the physical copy?
I did have the physical copy. It's still somewhere in storage in Melbourne, yeah.
So, David, did you have any standout moments from this phenomenal concert?
Enjoyed Genie in a Bottle, the kind of
metal.
Death metal meets Middle Eastern rhythmic mashup. I mean, that was just insane hearing that version of Genie. And also her on the giant X with the flames, again, channeling our queen Janet Jackson there. I definitely see the nods to Janet's concerts.
It was absolutely fantastic. Now, I loved just coming out strong, loud, proud, Dirty. What an opener.
I know. For one of the big hits, not saving it for the end, hit you with it with the first song.
It's just like, if you're at the bar, get in your fucking seats now.
Imagine you're running back from the bar. Ladies, move. Gentlemen, move. You're like running with your bottle of Prosecco.
But yeah, absolutely phenomenal.
I also enjoyed Infatuation. I know this was your fave from the album, but really it jumped out at me in this concert. There's just something hits different when you see it on stage with a full band, the dancers all giving you like their own storyline and, you know, just like swagger and everything. I think this is one of my favorite performances of the set.
I also loved Can't Hold Us Down, where you've got the male dancers on the dog leashes, something we'd then see recreated for the Return of the Spice Girls
tour. Yes, for Holla. Yes. Oh, I do love that. Oh,
it's what a concept.
It's a strong concept. Yeah. We're going to do that for our live shows.
Yes, absolutely.
JB also appreciated the breezy acoustic rendition of Come On Over. I thought that was nice. Slow it down.
Well, I think it's lovely. I think it's what she wanted to do and she should do. What a girl wants. But hit songs like Come On Over Baby should not be slowed down. Songs should not be slowed down. They should be sped up. If we're going to do anything to songs, we're going to speed them up. We're not going to slow them down, you know?
Yeah, okay. No, I hear you. You didn't want the live lounge version.
No. I'm going to take poppers with me to see her next week. If she starts slowing down songs, I'm going to get the poppers out. Cag! Have a sniff!
Have a sniff.
Speed it up.
Can you imagine? She takes a whiff of that and is like, kick the tempo up.
Come on over, baby. I've not done this version of a routine since 99, but let's go for it. Hey, boy, don't you know? Yeah.
Also, the pink hat she wore during Walk Away. It's a little bit Mrs. Potato Head, but I love it for that. Like, our pop stars in the 2000s love a strong hat.
We love it. We love it. I mean, Walk Away, what a song. We didn't talk about it before, but it's such like a caggy song. Like, just like the, like a double Only Christina.
But yeah, you know, sticking with the very feminist themes of her show and this album and everything, very interesting to see. There's more of a burlesque vibe with this performance, but we see it as the male dancer doing like a sexy striptease. And also that bit on the tour, she was like, we're not the only ones who are going to be showing some skin, because in my show, the boys have to take some clothes off as well.
So they bloody should, haha. But yeah, incredible. I'd love to have gone. I'd love to have seen the tour, but going to see her very soon. And, you know, have seen her recently-ish too. So we make up for lost time. Do you have anything else to say?
No.
Well, David, time is up because I've had enough, as our girl Kaggers would have said. You have been listening to Right Back At You, the 2000s pop music podcast. Please do hit that subscribe button. Follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms. Leave us a 5-star review. Tell a friend. Tell your Kaggy fans. Tell your Britney fans. Tell your pop-loving fans. Tell them all. You can email our hearts, rightbackpod@gmail.com. You can follow me at Dr_JoelB on all platforms. And you can follow him at
@LoveLimmy. Thanks, guys. We've missed you. And we're glad to be back, even though it wasn't a very long hiatus. But
we're back. Ha ha. Until next time. Bye. Bye. Ha ha.